Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue on our study of United We Fall. In our last program, we began to listen to the answer of Imam Omar Sleiman concerning hope, his belief of hope, if it is in the future or a current reality. What is Islam ideology? What is Islam's worldview concerning hope? Imam Omar Sleiman taught us in our last program about a very important message in the Quran. That is Quran chapter 94 verses 5 and 6, where Allah repeated himself in the Quran. Now, listen to what Imam Omar said.
In the matter of usra, as it says in the Quran, verily with every hardship comes ease. There's always an ease that comes with the hardship.
But once again, let me remind you, what Allah said in the Quran has nothing to do with this dialogue meeting between Imam Omar and Pastor J.D. Greer. The hope there was for Muhammad and the Muslim believers who were very weak, that someday they will be strong as Allah will invade the east and the west for them, as they will conquer the world. Is that what Imam Omar is talking about in this dialogue meeting? But let's continue now with the rest of the answer of Imam Omar Sleiman. That is when he stated the following.
In Islam, we do as much good work as we can to qualify for the mercy of God for eternal life in the hereafter in paradise, right? I mean, we see our efforts as inherently falling short, but we hope that God will always fill in that shortcoming, and with his mercy essentially overwhelm the gap between the shortcomings that are inherent in our works and what he promises us in the hereafter.
Well, now, if you are sitting in that meeting and you watch the body language of Pastor Kevin Singer and Pastor J.D. Greer, you will see that they were sitting with a smile, respectfully, listening carefully to every word Imam Omar is saying. And not once do you see objection or even the body language of rejecting what he's talking about. Imam Omar Sleiman is telling them that in Islam, we build our hope on good works. So you did not hear from these two Christian ministers that you cannot build your hope on good works because we are not good enough to please God with our good works. And the problem is not doing good works or not, but the problem is our sin. And since the wages of our sin is death, therefore good works will not help us to have hope, not in this world's life, nor for eternity. But Imam Omar Sleiman continued to say that we do as much good works as we can to qualify for the mercy of God for eternal life in the hereafter, in paradise. Once again, that's not true Islamic beliefs, because there is not any good work a man or woman can do in Islam enough to meet the mercy of Allah. Once again here, we have to understand, every time Imam Omar used the word God, he is trying to brainwash his audience, to make them believe that he is actually talking about the God of the Bible, as he assumes that they all believe that Allah, the God of Muhammad, is the God of the Bible. And that's a big problem, not just with this audience, but now with all the liberal churches all over America. Just last week, I talked to a friend of mine who's trying to minister to some of the Lutheran ministers in her state. And she is asking the simple question about, do Muslims believe in the same God we Christians believe? And the answer of all these ministers is absolutely yes. They totally believe that Muslims and Christians are worshiping the same God, the God of the Bible. But in reality, we don't. Allah, the God of Muhammad, once again, is nothing but the devil of the Bible. He is not a triune God. He is not a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, he, Allah, the God of Muhammad, ordered Muhammad and the Muslim believers to kill all the Christians who believe that Jesus Christ is God who came in the flesh. Or the God of the Bible is a triune God. That is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Which means that Allah, the God of Muhammad, 100% for sure, is Satan, not the God of the Bible. These ministers who claim to be Christians have not read the Quran. Once again, I'll advise you, my friend, if you do not know what I'm talking about, to go to Quran chapter 5 and verse 72, and Quran chapter 5 and verse 73, and read what Allah said about who is Isa, son of Mary, and why he called those who believe in him to be the Son of God, or those who believe in God to be a triune God, to be infidels indeed. Don't forget to go to Quran 47:4, where Allah ordered the Muslim believers to behead such Christians who believe in the deity of Christ or who believe that the God we worship is triune. But let's go back again to the answer of Imam Omar Sleiman. He's telling his audience, including Pastor J.D. Greer and Pastor Kevin Singer, that Muslims work for God. They do lots of good work for God to be qualified to receive the mercy of God. Which God here? Allah, the God of this world, the deceiver, the God of Muhammad, Satan himself. So they can have eternal life. This is an expression that does not even exist anywhere in Islam. But Imam Omar is using it because that's how he wants Islam and Christianity to blend together. He meant so they can be in paradise. Imam Omar Sleiman is confessing in his answer here that we all fall short and none of us is perfect. That is when he said, right, I mean, we see our efforts as inherently falling short, but we hope God will always fulfill or fill in that shortcoming with his mercy. Essentially, overwhelm the gap between the shortcomings that are inherent in our works and what he promises us in the hereafter. Once again, there is no verses from the Quran. There is not one of the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith to support his propaganda. But here is what Imam Omar Sleiman did not tell these two ministers nor the audience. Muslims do good works only to other Muslims, not to everybody. Yes, indeed, Muslims do good works, but they don't do it to the infidels. They don't do it to the Christians and the Jews, because if you do good works in Islam to non-Muslims, that means you are living in disobedience to the word of Allah. Remember, he told us that in Islam, you receive peace by being in submission. Submission to who? Submission to Allah. Submission to who? Submission to Muhammad. So what did Allah say in the Quran? And what did Muhammad order the Muslim believers in the Hadith, which Muslims must submit to? Do we read anywhere in the Quran, Allah's words, or in the Hadith, Muhammad's words, or even if we examine the Sunnah of Muhammad, how Muhammad lived, do we see anywhere there that Allah or Muhammad ordered the Muslim believers to love the Jews or the Christians, to help the enemies, to feed the hungry of the enemies or the thirsty of the infidels? No, that is forbidden in Islam. You're doing the wrong things by doing the good things. Yes, Muslims do good works, but they do it to other Muslims. But Muslims are also commanded to hate the enemy of Allah, to kill the enemy of Allah, to terrorize the enemy of Allah. Where do we find that? It is all over the Quran. As Allah ordered the Muslim believers to do these things to the infidels, the Jews and the Christians, and anyone and everyone who will not submit to Islam. So the good works is not for Muslims to infidels, but from Muslims to Muslims. But what about the best work? The best good work a Muslim man can ever offer to Allah. Do you know what it is? It is to die while performing jihad for the sake of Allah. And by the way, that is the only guarantee, Imam Omar Sleiman. That is the only guarantee, Pastor J.D. Greer and Pastor Kevin Singer. That is the only way a Muslim can guarantee to get to paradise. And to learn about that, just look for the word jihad all over the Quran. or investigated the word wars all over the Quran. And that is what we have covered in our study, Islam, A Face Hijacked, which is also, by the way, our new book, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Volume 2, Unholy War in the Quran. What we know to be the most evil thing in Christianity. It is the best thing you can offer to Allah in Islam. To kill an infidel, to terrorize an infidel, to behead an infidel, to rape the wife and the daughters of the infidels, to raise new Muslim babies is the best good work a Muslim believer can ever offer to Allah. But that's not what we have heard in the study, and that's not what you will ever hear in a dialogue or an interfaith meeting. That's why, once again, I say it for the 100 times, we are against dialogue. We are against interfaith meetings, because in these meetings, you hear nothing but propaganda Islam without any rejection by the Christians. That's where Christians always compromise. Once again, Muslims do good works, but only to other Muslims. And the best good work a Muslim can ever offer to Allah is to die for the sake of Allah.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicki@thestraightway.org. That's Vicki spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
And now I want you to listen carefully to the next example which Imam Omar is giving to explain to us what does he mean by doing the best as we can, the good work we can ever offer to Allah, and how Allah will look at our work to be good with his mercy, even if our good work is not really the best. Because of his mercy, he will not look at our work as a bad work, but he will accept it and he will admit us into his paradise. Listen carefully to this wonderful example which Imam Omar gave in this meeting.
It's sort of like if your kid comes to you and, you know, your kid draws you, you know, in school, and I'm hoping my 7-year-old doesn't see this. But if your kid draws a stick figure of you in school and comes and brings it to you, it's the most beautiful piece of art in the world. Even if the person in front of you was an artist that could draw you perfectly, but the child doing so, just showing you that love and the intention. And so the idea is that we hope in God's mercy, and that God's mercy will always overcome the inherent shortcomings and deficiencies. However, we have to try. And I think that's where the point of effort comes in, both as an individual and as a society.
Wow. Doesn't this touch your heart? Think about this example which Imam Omar gave his audience. Think about your child. And he's talking about his own son who is just 7 years old, who will draw a picture of him, you know, the stick figures, and you look at the picture and say, "Wow, son, this is a beautiful picture." Even if there is a professional artist in the room who can draw a perfect picture of you, for the father to look at the work of his son, the stick pictures, which does not look anything like him, to him, that drawing by his son is much greater than the work of any artist. That's how Allah looks at our work. That's how Allah wanna evaluate our good works which we offer him. Because Allah is so merciful. Because Allah knows that we have shortcomings. Allah knows that we inherit the shortcomings and deficiencies while we live in this world. This is really a good story. But did you listen carefully to what Omar Sleeman said? You see, the problem I see here is both Pastor J.D. Greer and Pastor Kevin Singer and the rest of the audience do not really know Islam, do not really know what Imam Omar Sleeman really, really believe. Listen carefully to what Imam Omar Sleeman said. He said,
and I'm hoping my seven-year-old doesn't see this.
Imam Omar Sleeman said, and I quote, "I am hoping my seven-year-old does not see this." Excuse me, what? What does 7 years old son of his have anything to do with the example he's given us? Oh, you see, what most of the audience did not know, in Islam, for anyone to draw a picture of a father or a mother or somebody, if you draw a picture of somebody, according to the saying of Muhammad in the hadith, in the day of judgment, you must bring the spirit into that picture which you have drawn. And if you cannot make that picture speak and become alive, Allah will burn you in hell forever. That's why Imam Omar Sleeman, when he said he is hoping that his son will never see that video, will never watch this dialogue, the hogwash conversation which he had with these two ministers and the naive audience, that he will never someday draw a picture of his own father. Why? Because he does not want his son to burn in hell forever. Why I'm making a big deal about that? Yes, our children in America draw pictures of us like a stick figure, and we are proud of them, and we hug them, we kiss them. Oh, sweetheart, that look exactly like your mama. Oh, that look exactly like me. I remember when my son Caleb, at the age of 3 or 4, drew a picture for me, which I still have, of me and his mama, and he is in the middle, as he made 3 stick figures for me and his mama and himself. We loved it. We hugged him, and we kissed him, and we appreciate the picture. But Imam Omar, believe it or not, if his son draw a picture like that, he will spank him. Physical abuse, as you call it in America, where I come from, that's a normal spanking. You hit your son until he starts crying on his butt. That is exactly what Imam Omar will do to his 7-year-old son to make sure that his son will never draw a stick figure for his father or anybody else. Imam Omar Sleeman, my friend, is a Muslim Brotherhood member. He's a jihadi member. He believes it's okay to call Christian infidels, and he does call us infidels. Even though you will never see a video of his, even though he have hundreds, if not thousands of videos online, you will never see one of these videos where Imam Omar tell you exactly what he believe about the infidels of America. Why? Because he came to America for that purpose, to deceive the American people. They are much smarter than we are, but from inside their talk, we can always catch the real beliefs of these people, like here in this example which he gave to his audience. If you ask Imam Omar Sleeman, what do you think of people who draw a cartoon of Muhammad? He would tell you these people deserve to be put to death. Why? Because they're committing a great sin. He will actually be one of those who will go all the way from anywhere in America to see those people who draw a cartoon of Muhammad, and he will take full responsibility to annihilate such people who draw such cartoon. So he is in the real picture an extreme Muslim or radical Muslim or fundamental Muslim, as if there is anything wrong about these words. He is 100% true Muslim believer. He will not allow his son to draw a picture of himself in a stick figure, nor draw a picture of Muhammad or anybody else. That's not what we Christian believe. We love for our children to draw pictures of us or draw a picture of Jesus, and we hug them and we kiss them and we encourage them to be more artistic as they continue to grow up. There are 2 very important facts here. Number 1, there is no truth about doing good work to please God. There is not enough good work we can offer to erase one sin of our lives. Because the wages of sin is not good work, but the wages of our sin is death. And since Imam Omar Sleeman declare to the audience that in Islam they do good work, and Pastor J.D. Greer and Pastor Kevin Singer did not reject his teachings, that means they are in agreement with him. Because the sin of silence, to me, in these meetings, is worse than any sin anybody can commit, because you're given the green light. You're given the okay for the lies and the falsehood of Islam to be taught in America. Number two, when Muslims do good works, once again, they do not do it to the infidels. They do it only to other Muslim believers, because Muslims are commanded in Islam to do evil for the infidels, to kill the infidels, to annihilate the infidels, no matter what you believe, if it is not Islam. Finally, we know for sure from his own words, that is Imam Omar Sleeman, this is internal evidence that he is not a simple Muslim guy. He is a Muslim radical who believes in everything about Islam. He is crossing every T and dotting every I in Islam, because he is already telling us here that for his son to watch that video would be a big problem. Why? Because maybe his son someday will draw a picture of him. You see, when Imam Omar speaks, he has a dual meaning for every sentence he says. And unless you know Islam very well, you will miss it. You see, if Imam Omar is really sincere about not ignoring the drawing of a stick figure picture to somebody is a crime punishable by hell, that means he also believes that being a friend with the Jews and the Christians, a real friendship, is sin. You know why? Because the same Allah who taught the Muslims, you do not draw a picture of somebody. It's the same Allah who taught the Muslims never to take the Jews and Christians for friends, Quran 551. And also he taught them to engage in war with the Jews and the Christians, Quran 929. And he is the same Allah who taught the Muslims to terrorize and to annihilate the Jews and the Christians from the face of the earth. Just read the rest of the pages of the Quran. And to continue our study of United We Fall, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.